Ephesians chapter 2. We pick back up in Ephesians with chapter 2. And notice verses 15 and 16. You have in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation." Verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity," some of your translations may have "hatred," the hatred, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "so as to create in himself," and some of your translations may render this as "in him," so "in him," "in himself." This is not "en ho," but we're looking at not just the Greek phrase "en ho," but "en auto," and this one is another form of "auto," so "en auto." And then you have, he says, "create in himself for," some of your translations, "for one new man," but this is "into." So your translation may have it, for instance, the New King James, "create in himself one new man from the two." But what you have is that he might create in himself into one new man. Isn't that interesting terminology? So that it's in him, so in Christ, and then it's into one new person. Really is best person, anthropos, making peace. Now notice verse 16 where it occurs as well, "that he might reconcile." And this word "reconcile," some of your translations may have something to the concept of make friends again. To make friends again, to make a right relationship, both in one body to God. And notice this, this is by the cross. Some of your translations say "by the cross." This is dia, so New King James is best to have "through the cross," putting to death the what? Enmity or the hatred. The hatred, notice, in him or in himself, in auto, so in him or in himself. What a focus we're having in the book of Ephesians, where the book of Ephesians is all about the church and the body, and where are we? We are in him, we are in Christ, and so putting to death the hatred in him or in himself. So verse 16, and You see that with this terminology, in one body, that this is the, you know, we can't miss this. And it's unfortunate, but it's amazing how the religious world misses this. And they say, well, you know, we are just all one big body. And then they say, you know, all these various denominations, it's like there's nothing about that that's the one body concept and all speaking the same thing and there be no divisions. It's that's every aspect of division and not of God, not of Christ. But then notice as we continue in this discussion, verses 21 and 22, you have in him or in whom, verse 21, in him or in whom all the building or the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So you'll have New King James, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So you have here in whom, but you also have in the Lord. So in whom, in whom? In whom is this referring? Well, it's in Christ. If you look at verse 20, mentioned to Jesus Christ himself. And so it's in him, in whom. And that's the same concept as you have within the same verse, in the Lord. Notice also verse 22. In whom? Well, whereas in verse 21, in him or in whom is a reference to Jesus Christ himself. Now you have verse 22, you have in the Lord, in whom. So whether we're saying in Christ or in the Lord, the interchangeability, and this is important for really all the other discussions we're going to have on this. In whom also you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in spirit. In the spirit or in spirit. Then notice chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness, and the definite article is there, so the boldness and the access with confidence through the faith of Him. So through faith in Him. And so in whom? Well, we have in verse 11 one of our in Christ passages. In Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it's interesting too, in Christ Jesus our Lord, it's as we start out the study, for Paul, and it's very clear that we should grasp this from Scripture, Christ is the Lord is Christ, and so that when we have this interchangeability, then we have in verse 11, which He made in Christ Jesus our Lord, well, Christ is the Lord is Christ, verse 12, in whom? Well, is this a reference to in Christ, or is this a reference to in our Lord? Both. Same. And so, in whom we have, what is it? Boldness, access, confidence. The way I learned this originally, I think it was taught to me, and it's a good way to remember this. These are the ABCs, if you're going with a translation that uses the words access and boldness and confidence. If you're using some other one, then you know you have to change that up a little bit, but it would be BAC, boldness, access, confidence. And isn't that interesting terminology, this terminology of boldness? That's this element of courageous and this boldness. Remember in our study of the book of John, this is the word that it's translated a number of places as openly. He spoke to them openly, which you could even those, you know, while it's public and openly, that's bold. That's courageous. This is your standard word that you would render as bold or courageous and open. In whom we have the openness. You wouldn't really translate that here this way. This would be boldness and the courageousness and the access. And notice it is with or in confidence through faith in Him. So our faithfulness in Christ is going to give us this boldness and give us the access in confidence. So, in Christ. Verse 21 of chapter 4. Verse 21 of chapter 4. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, notice you have, if indeed you heard Him and in Him you were taught. You were taught in Him. The New King James will just have, and have been taught by Him, but you do have an alto here so that it is in Him. You were taught in Him. Is there a little bit of difference? You might say, you know, there's a bit of difference. Taught by Him versus in Him. What did Paul mean to say? I believe Paul meant to say you were taught in Him. So you're taught in Christ. Otherwise, it would be that, taught by Him, as though some would say, well, then sounds like they're saying that, you know, personally taught by Christ as the apostles were. That's not what Paul is trying to communicate to the Christians at Ephesus. You were taught in Him. And so some of your translations probably will clear that up, because notice, then, just shortly after that, just as the truth is where? It's not by Jesus, but the truth is in Jesus. So I'm not sure why the New King James translators chose to go with by Him, and then they turn around and say in Jesus. Did you actually have this same preposition, an alto, in Him, and then you were taught just as the truth is in, and it's Anto Iesu, so that it is in the Jesus, literally, so in Jesus. So you're taught in Him, the truth is in Jesus. And what did Jesus say himself concerning the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, verse 6. And what did he say about God's word? He said, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. But Jesus being the truth, and Jesus is also, according to John, who is he? He is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, the word was God. In verse 14, the word became flesh and lived among us. We beheld his splendor, the splendor as of the only born one of the Father. So, notice then chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The New King James says, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here again we have the in whom. And you have in ho here. So, in whom you were sealed. And notice that, that word that they render as for the day of redemption, it's into. Into the day of redemption. Isn't that an interesting term? And I like that, into the day of redemption. So that it's not that you were sealed just for the day of redemption. You know, you're sealed and it's just for the day of redemption, but it's into. You're sealed now and it's all the way into. So that sealed and into, not that we've come into this final redemption that he's speaking of, but we clearly, as you start off with Ephesians 1 verse 7, that we are redeemed, and we are redeemed in him. Once again, look at Ephesians 1 verse 7, and you have, in him we have redemption through his blood. So, in that sense, we in whom or in him we have redemption. So, we're in redemption now in him. So, then you carry through with this terminology of verse 30, and then it is into, sealed into the day of redemption. And he's talking about the final redemption, eternal salvation. So into the day of redemption. But notice this, it's in whom you were sealed. So that, yes, I do believe that with this concept of in him or in whom, and then this mention of redemption, should our minds just completely forget what Paul had stated to the Ephesians, especially if we're, you know, we're really trying to track with this, should we forget completely that connection in chapter 1, verse 7? I think we need to keep it intact. So then, notice, as we go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. And once again, you have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon being what are, you know, categorized, I believe properly so, as prison letters. Paul's writing from prison. And you have chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption. Isn't this interesting? The in him and, who, and in whom. In him and whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And here you do have the word sins. That is used, the technical word hamartio, the exact form here is hamartion. And so you have verse 14, in him in whom we have redemption through his blood. Some of your translations, it may just be the Textus Receptus, yes. The Textus Receptus is the only one that has through his blood that I'm seeing. The rest of the majority text, Nestle UBS, will have in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, the same kind of thing that we had discussed in Ephesians chapter 1. And so we have Ephesians, the church of the Christ, Colossians, the Christ of the church, and notice this common thread of redemption in him, and you know, the Textus Receptus reason they would include through his blood is because we do know that this redemption is through the blood of Christ. So it doesn't do any harm to the text. Whether it should be there or not, I would agree with the majority text and the Nestle UBS that the text is firm that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3 of Colossians. In whom or in him are all the treasures of wisdom and of hidden knowledge. And our translations are going to say, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, for clarification in English. In him are hidden all the treasures. The Greek word order is, in whom or in him are all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge hidden. But it is clearer, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So that when we look at passages like we saw in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, when Paul references the unsearchable riches of Christ, I believe that we have something pretty closely akin to this concept when Paul uses this terminology. And some of your translations will use unsearchable riches. Others may render it as incomprehensible riches in Ephesians 3, verse 8. But you have this vast, fathomless treasure, storehouse of treasure, if you will, of wisdom and knowledge. Because he is the all-knowing, all-wise God. Because you have, verse 2, their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And then you have verse 3, in whom? Well, is it the Father and of Christ? When you have the Father and Christ, in whom or in him, are we not seeing the Father and Christ as one here? I would say that that appears to be the case. Now, is it just a reference just in Christ? No, in the Father and the Son, and when Jesus obviously said, I and the Father are one, to be in Christ is to be in the Father. It's much like our discussion in Matthew 28:19, immersing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Are you just being immersed into the name of the Father or just into the name of Jesus? And you know, there some people actually have that discussion. This is the family of God. And so here you have, in whom are all are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Chapter 2 of Colossians still. Notice verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12. In him, or in whom, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now, we've already seen a real emphasis about, you know, it's not a matter of being circumcised in the flesh in previous discussions such as Acts chapter 15. Here Paul makes it very clear that this is a spiritual circumcision. This is not a physical circumcision. He says that, you know, you circumcised with circumcision without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So this is a lopping off of sin, not a lopping off of flesh. And then it says, by the circumcision of Christ, and so in him. Whereas in Ephesians, we saw that, you know, that middle wall of separation, the Jews and the Gentiles, it's obliterated, and we all share salvation together. And you remember that was such a real hard obstacle for the Jews to get over in the book of Acts. We saw, you know, Acts chapter 15, we see that in Galatians, where even Peter and Brother Barnabas get caught up in hypocrisy and siding against the Gentiles. Well, this discussion, it's, you know, it's still apparently alive, and Paul is saying this is a spiritual circumcision, and it's cutting off, notice that terminology, the body of the sins of the flesh. And he says it is in or by the circumcision of Christ. So, in the circumcision of Christ. Along these lines, notice what Paul says. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Because Paul really, this is one of the definitive passages when we talk about the spiritual circumcision in Christ. And Paul just lets the hammer down on this one. Romans chapter 2, it's going to be at the end of Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. But let's back up to verse 25, but to get more of what he's saying about circumcision. Romans 2:25 following, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." Verse 26, "Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision?" Verse 27, "And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law?" And then notice the verses I really want us to focus in on are verses 28 and 29. "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly." Meaning that you're a Jew one who's outwardly, and okay, you're circumcised and you have, you're keeping the ordinances and everything else. And then he even specifically says, "Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29. "But he is a Jew who is one," where? "Inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart." Now, he's not talking about the physical heart. This is the spiritual heart. So this is spiritual circumcision. And notice what he says, verse 29, "in spirit." Some of our translations will have "in the spirit," but "in spirit," so that makes it very clear that circumcision is in spirit. It is a spiritual circumcision, not in letter. It's not in written code. "Whose praise is not from men, but from God." And so that's why in this discussion, in Christ, in him you were also circumcised, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, "with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Notice also verse 12. This is one that we should reference when we're talking to people about immersion. Colossians 2:12, it's a very important discussion with this whole concept of burial. "Buried with him in immersion." And then notice this "in which," this is "en ho." This is the same phrase that we saw in Acts 4 verse 12, which they render it "by which." Here is, they may render it as "in which," or you can be "in him" or "in whom." So that it's having been buried together with him in immersion, "in whom also you were raised together through faith in," or "of, the working of God, the one having raised him from the dead." So that's why verse 12 is also one of the "in him" passages, because it's "in him" or "in whom," or they render it as "in which," "buried with him in immersion, in whom also you were raised." And then they will supply the "with him" part of that, "in whom you were also raised." And so that you have this concept of in immersion, and it's in Christ. We'll stop here. Our time is gone. We'll want to leave some time for our question and answer period. But this is a discussion that is seldom had, to the extent we're studying the "in Christ" and "in him" and "in whom" passages, and then also "in the Lord." But it's been a very, very highly beneficial study for me, and it enhanced my understanding, and I hope that it's enhancing your understanding of a number of passages. And it's like Ken said, this little word "in," though it is so small, it is a rather large word, isn't it? And we stress once again that when we're in Christ, then we're not in the world. You know, we talk about, you know, we're in the place geographically of this world, but we're not seated and in or of the world. You know, that's what Jesus said, isn't it? In John 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here. So we're not in the kingdom of the world, participants fighting the battles as they fight battles and just doing things the way they do things. Being in Christ, we're taught in Him, as we just noticed. We're taught in Him. We are in Christ. And so we have a completely different mindset, or we should have a completely different mindset. And we know that, you know, bad comes to worse the way the world would look at it. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So that, in essence, I'm a winner either way, if I die or if I stay. And so this study on in Him, the most important thing we can, the most important location we can be is in Christ.